Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3. The Fan coming in hot after some Rangers Day baseball. Literally hot if you saw Sands on TV. He's heading for cover and some AC, and he'll be joining us before too long to talk about what's been a very eventful 24 hours for your Texas Rangers. A lot going on here with this ball team. Didn't win today, but won the series in Cleveland and are now tied for first place with your Mariners, who have the evening off. Okay. Senegal and Belgium are in action, and it's 1-0 Senegal. This is the game to determine who the USA will play if they can win tonight against Bosnia. And we'll have some conversations about that here in our, 3.5-hour journey to the top of the hour before we get to the Fan After Dark with Fred and Blake. General at your service. At ease. There's Broadus, the former Cowboy Scout, the Super Bowl champion. You have Lucius Alexander over here, Pimp Cup Master Control, 75 and 635 Lakeside Studios. Fix it to go 3.5 flawless like it's nothing. Eric Chiafalo and Zach Wolchuk, your Nosebleed Brothers, are here as always. And Austin Nix is coordinating your video along with you. We are the G-Bag Nation. How we doing, boys? Everything good?
Good.
Wonderful, dude.
Yeah.
Rolling right along.
It's a USA game day.
It's a big day, dude.
Rangers still won the series, and they were clawing and fighting their way back into this after it looked like it was going to get ugly. Ultimately, it did get a little ugly, but it's all right.
Yeah.
You take 2 of 3, it's a hell of a road trip, and you're coming back home, and we'll see what happens this weekend.
Now we just need to score at home.
Yeah.
You know, and play well against bad teams, as I think Brian was first to point out.
Sure.
As Jared Sandler joins you now here on 105.3 The Fan. And a good afternoon, Jared. You cooled off a little bit yet?
Golly. They sprayed me with the grounds crew's water in the infield, and I asked them to turn and spray me, and that probably, if that got caught on camera or someone took a picture, it could be used for illicit purposes, but it definitely felt good at the moment, I'll tell you that.
I'm anticipating maybe a Jared Sandler calendar, if you will, based on the exploits of those photos. But it's a busy time for the Rangers, man, and I got mixed emotions with everything going on. They won the series. They lost the game. Everybody's hurt. How should I feel about our Rangers right now?
It's a great question. I mean, you know, they've kind of almost formed this underdog identity because of that. I mean, you know, they played today without Nimmo, Langford, and Seager. They did yesterday. They won yesterday without those three. Hopefully Nimmo's back and ready to go tomorrow. You know, they're not putting him on the IL, which is a good indication, but it's over a large stretch of time. You know, typically you need your big dogs, but this is also a unique sport in that, you know, you can kind of get away with it a little bit more than if you lost your number one, like if Cooper Flagg went down, you know, Mavs are cooked. If, your quarterback goes down, Cowboys are cooked, right? So this sport's a little bit different, but, yeah, I mean, you got to try to get those guys healthy. Probably also almost muddies the waters a little bit, depending on how the Rangers do the next couple weeks with the trade deadline approaching. But at the end of the day, right now, they're a game over 500. They'll either be in first place or a half game back of the division lead tonight, depending on what happens with Seattle. And then, they'll be in a playoff spot regardless. So, they played well. They're scrappy. Even a game like today, you know, their lineup, if you look at it, not intimidating at all. They go down 5-0 in the second inning. It's hot. They've already taken care of business this road trip. And yet they battle back. They have a couple opportunities with, the tying run or go-ahead run at the plate. They're just kind of a scrappy group, and it's been fun to watch.
What's been the reaction to Corey Seager exiting early last night?
Yeah, I think people around the team feel badly for Corey, because I think they see everything he does and goes through to try and, you know, get back from an injury or stay healthy, you know, all the work he does to try and get better education on how to be healthy and the things he does, you know, acting upon that information. I get it from a fan standpoint. I understand the frustration. You know, there are a lot of people that have Corey Seager jerseys, and they come to the yard and they want to see him in the lineup. And, it's a bummer when he's not. But I think people in the building, it's just a little bit of a different feeling. It's more frustration on his behalf rather than frustration towards him.
You know, I guess my initial reaction was, it seems like maybe he's got something bigger going on than they're trying to manage. Instead of these being this is the same injury, isn't it? And they're hoping to get through this year so he could really address it in the offseason, is kind of what my sports instincts are telling me here.
Yeah, I think, Gavin, I mean, you know this. I feel like, if I'm not mistaken, I know you've had ankle things. I feel like you've had back things before, right? Am I wrong?
No, maybe I'm constantly managing it.
Yeah. So, like, there you go. Constant, like, I just, 6'4 shortstop. You know, mm-hmm. And I think the thought is probably that at first sign of discomfort, he asks out of the lineup, when it's really the other way around. You know, he waits, like he wants to play through all of this stuff, right? You know, he honestly tried to come back from the concussion before he came back. He was clear to come back, but I think he probably was, if I'm understanding correctly, was pushing to come back like right away before, you know, seven layers of tests were conducted. So yeah, I mean, I think that he obviously dealt with the back thing earlier this year. As that was going on, you know, the team was doing all right, but, you know, it wasn't like the lineup was flourishing. You know, White Langford goes down. Like, he sees all of this, right? He wants to come back. It's tough. It's tough to, you know, that fine line of, like, am I able to come back and just tolerate the pain, or am I going to make it worse? Or, you know, maybe you have three straight good days with a back, and so you feel like, hey, I'm on the right track. And then something can just go wrong that next day, right? So my understanding is they're going to take a little bit of time, get further testing, try get a little better idea of, you know, how to combat this. And then hopefully when he comes back, he can come back with some sort of plan, but be back for good. But again, it's a back and you never know, but it's definitely not a situation where, like, he's got a sore fingernail and so he's going to ask out of the lineup. You know, I think that's the narrative that I'm seeing on social media, and I know that's a dangerous road to go down, but I think it's kind of, you know, really the other end of the spectrum.
Jared, are we being unfair to him because we don't know the guy? And I mean this in a way of, like, because I was listening to Sean and RJ and Bobby, yeah, and those guys this morning, and I didn't know if you got on air with them. I'm sorry I missed that if you did. But there seemed to be the discussion that he is just not a very personable guy. And so we don't know all the things that he's going through and things like that. Is that not fair?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that it's unfair, because I mean, it's the choice he makes, right? I think Sean and RJ, or Sean and Bobby, were spot on, you know, in that a part of what influences the narrative is that he's not running to the microphone to tell his story, right? You know, he views it as like making an excuse. You know, he views it as, hey, the Rangers are paying me a lot of money. They're paying me money to be on the field and produce. And, you know, I think the fact that he hasn't been producing this year, if he goes to the mic and says, hey, you know, it's this or that, then he, you know, it comes off as an excuse. I think his desire is to spend his time working on being a better baseball player and doing everything he can to try and help the team win, right? I'm not saying that's right or wrong, because I think you probably could manage both. I just don't think he has the desire to do that. You know, I think he, you know, he's more wired in a way like, I don't feel like I need to, you know, sit here and make these excuses. I just want to get better and win. And I want to, and I think what's important, Brian, mm-hmm, what his teammates think, right? Yeah. His teammates adore the guy. No, he does not take batting practice. You know what? More than 50% of the guys don't take batting practice. Yes, he gets ready doing his own thing, but a lot of guys kind of get ready doing their own thing. His is just a little more unique. Like, if he did a lot of the same things that most guys do, this would be a non-story. But we also don't see all the times he is with his teammates playing ping pong, playing chess, which is a big thing for this group. And the guys love him. You know, would it be nice, just from a fan standpoint, if he, you know, got behind the mic and explained a little more what's going on? I guess. Yeah. I mean, sure. People always love hearing from their favorite players or the, you know, the best players on the team. But that's a choice that, you know, he makes, and it is what it is. But so I don't know that it's unfair. I think it's just more the reality of the situation.
Jared, when you mention his size as a shortstop, and that's something we've always talked about, and he's made it really clear that's the position he wants to play, is he more open-minded to possibly playing first or DHing more to preserve his health?
Yeah, I think he's open to that. It's tough because, you know, he's coming off a year in which he was a Gold Glove finalist. He's been a Gold Glove finalist, I think, two of the last 3 years. He's really, really good at that position, and I think he sees that that's a part of the value he brings. I think the question, Zach, is, well, what is that position, right? Some people have talked about third base. Is that really going to make a huge difference? I don't know. First base, I know people think you just stand there, but you also have to stretch a lot. And for a guy who's had soft tissue injuries, is having a stretch to reach for the ball and all that, like, is that what's best, right? DHing. We've had players talk about how DHing kind of slows your body down a little bit. Every guy's different, right? And there obviously is going to be the right answer for what makes sense for Corey. I just don't think it's an obvious answer, right? I don't know that it is obvious that he stays at short or obvious that he goes to third or first or whatever it might be, or DHs. And the other thing is, like, do you really want him at right now to just be your everyday DH? You know, it's like, I think there's value in having flexibility in that position, in that role, I should say. So, I think it's something that probably is a combination of these things, right? You know, maybe, he DHs some, you know, maybe you give him a couple more off days sprinkled in. Maybe, you have a conversation in the off season from a physical standpoint, what makes sense. I'm rambling because that's what I do really well, but also because there's not an obvious answer here, and just trying to talk through the options and why it may or may not make sense with each one. We've seen it work and we've seen it not work for, you know, several different ball players over the years.
And I certainly hope there's audio I can go find of you tearing up Sean and Bobby. Is that what happened? Is that how it went down?
No, I think they thought it was. I had a long text conversation with Sean last night, and it was late. But I really wasn't disagreeing with him. His primary point was that because Corey is not the most vocal, it makes it tougher for fans to feel a certain way, right? You know, when a player gets behind the microphone, you develop a connection, and you know, so I don't disagree with that. I totally understand that narrative. So it really wasn't a big knockdown, drag out fight or anything like that. I totally understand that. Yeah, no, I was disappointed too.
I was upset.
Safe travels, bro.
Yeah. He was trying to pick a fight with you, listening to you before you got on air then. He was trying to pick a fight.
Yeah, I feel like it.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, Sam, safe travels. Have a great flight. Can't wait to catch up with you tomorrow and talk about building another winning streak, my man.
Sounds good, fellas. Take care.
He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter. And for the record, I have no problem if the guy doesn't want to talk. You know, I kind of like a quiet approach. For my superstars, I just don't think he's healthy, and I think the back continuing to bother him is he's got like a herniated disc situation, a bulging disc, I think.
Yeah, that's
in his back.
That's very very difficult.
That would be my guess. You know,
maybe
and
shut
they're,
down for
they're
the
trying
year.
To ice it and rest it, and every couple of weeks it's like, all right, let's try it again, and then it's like, oh crap, it's hurt again. I think this is a huge weekend, and you know, we'll see if they can get any good baseball out of him this year, or they're going to have to shut him down.
It's interesting. Did you just have this thought, like, or is this something that's been brewing, and then you were just waiting for one more week to? Or one more time where, okay, he's locking it up.
Sorry. That's right, Lucius. Yeah, we got to go. We'll address that on the other side. Maybe get some Krusty's Corner in here next in the G-Bag.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
G-Bag Nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the fan. Senegal and Belgium approaching half, and Senegal is leading 1-0. Winner of this game will take on the winner of USA and Bosnia, which is tonight at 7 o'clock. It is the G-Bag Nation here on the fan. We went to break with Brian asking me why I felt, or the timing of why I feel like maybe Corey Seager has a bigger injury that they're trying to work through. And it's because when he was coming back from that concussion that took 2 weeks or whatever that took, I was reading in the morning news Evan Grant's article about it like 2 days before he came back or 3 days before he came back. And at the end of the article, Evan Grant said, and also keep in mind that the Rangers have to be mindful about his back and hip. And yeah. Like, he's been out for 2 weeks. Before he came back, he came back for like one series, then got the concussion and went out. But he'd been out on the injured list before then. So he had had like 4 of the previous 5 weeks off. And for Evan Grant to be saying, be aware, you know, because as Sandler asked me in that follow-up, yes, I do deal with back stuff all the time. And even when I really yank it and I'm like off my feet for 24 hours, I'm pretty fine within a couple of weeks. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, for it not to be fine suggests there's something that getting off your feet, doing the ice, doing the physical therapy, like those things aren't bringing him back to baseline.
Yeah.
He is constantly on the breaking point of back, you know, taking him out of the lineup.
It's interesting. I mean, it's a really good thought by you.
Maybe just paranoia. Maybe sports injury paranoia.
Reading into that, because I'm thinking, damn, that does make a lot of sense.
Greg Oden things come back to you.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I was just thinking, damn, Dawson came up with that. That's pretty. But you wonder. Why would the team then protect him on? Or is it just he's not going to allow it? Maybe that's what Jared's talking about. He's not
fighting through it.
He's fighting through it because he's not going to let CY put him on the 60
he's
or whatever.
Not trying to make it an excuse, and there's a part of that that's commendable.
Yeah,
but
and from the team's perspective, if you know that this is going to require more time off than we have left in the season, it makes sense. If he wants to battle through it, if the doctors are saying he's not going to make it any worse, you know, and maybe we can manage this thing and have Corey Seager play 4 times a week at a pretty high level, you know? So you're trying that. You're in the process of trying that. And yesterday was a major obstacle on the road where I think you got to go back and say, is this really going to work? Is this doable?
I think you're spot on.
Yeah.
And I think it goes back to your initial frustration, which was taken as like you're calling Corey out for not trying or wanting to be part of it or whatever.
He's just fragile.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think the team has the same sense of urgency that you were feeling there. The team's like, it's go time. Like, we're in a pennant race right now. The rest of the league is not very good. If we don't win the AL West, we could at least get in and be a playoff team as a wild card possibly. You're our best player when you're going. We need you. And Corey's like, I'm here, guys. I'm ready to give it a try. But the bottom line is, to me, it comes down to if he's not right, you just need to shut him down. Yeah. Or I really think you need to try and flip him at the deadline if he can pass a physical. And somebody else can try and take that on. And I know that there's some Ranger fans that will say, well, I didn't think they'd be able to trade for Marcus Semien, get him out of here. And they did.
Made
and they traded
trade.
For Nimmo.
Made a good
so
trade.
If there's a team like the Yankees or the Phillies or the Brewers or whoever it is that might say, you know what, we'd be willing. Because right now, I think there's something to be said. I think Jared's right. He knows better than anybody. The team loves him. Players love him. But they're also kind of scrapping around. They got something special going with him not on the field. And they got replacements for him defensively that are playing better this year than what Corey Seager was doing. So I think that you still got a shot to compete, even if you were to flip him. And I think with every single year that passes, that's going to be harder and harder to accomplish with his age.
Yeah, I'd want to know what you could get for him right now. If you're being required to still take on a lot of the salary and you're not getting much in return, I wouldn't be interested to be, you know, I wonder how Ray Davis looks at it, though. I would like to believe that because backs are tricky, you know, and just like Tank Lawrence, if you had a full off season, you could come back and get back to the height of your powers and either help the Rangers win or get a lot more in the trade market.
And if that's the case, then let's shut it down, you know, until he's 100% ready to go. Put him on the 60-day IL.
Yeah.
Do we have is he one of those guys that has a built-in no trade thing?
He does. He'd have to waive it.
He'd have to waive it.
I want to say Sean and RJ were saying it kicks in after this season. So this is according to them.
I don't think it does.
I would need to confirm that, but they were saying that this is the
show
last
on show
year.
Crime going on here right now.
No crime. That was one of the things that stood out to me is like maybe you would want to try and get ahead of it for this trade deadline because after this season, that's when the contract becomes an official no trade clause. So I need to confirm that.
Do you think a team would want to trade for him right now?
It's hard for me to fathom unless you're eating a bunch of the the remaining contract.
You're saying we want his bat in our lineup for the next 4 years, even if he can't help us this summer, and we're going to pick up Corey Seager at, you know, at rock bottom value. That I think that'd be a very, very unique situation.
Is this
considering
one of these things that only gets worse?
Yeah, no, that's how I'm feeling.
I mean, players have back surgeries all the time. Yeah. That microdiscectomy.
Yeah,
thing off. You're back in the game.
So if he has the surgery,
yeah.
So yeah, hey, I mean, if you can, just get it taken care of.
I'm talking about this year, right?
This year. Yeah, no, this is like a 6 month recovery type.
So he's
deal.
Got dunsies right now, right?
Yeah, Seager's got eight teams. He can give the team a list that he does not want to be traded to.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing here as well. There's eight specific teams. I don't know if we know what those teams are.
I know the Braves were one. He didn't want to go to Atlanta.
Well, again, Tex, there's no report of confirming Corey Seager's injury. I'm just, you know, adding things up and telling you what it looks like to me, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Rangers are doing some pretty serious evaluations of what the rest of his summer looks like right now.
Well, the fact that Jared kind of was saying, listen, you don't want to play in first base because of the bending and that and the stuff like that, you can kind of read into that. That's a guy living in the organization.
And you can't take Jock Peterson out of the lineup right now.
Well, and my understanding has always been Corey's pretty stubborn and set on, like, he doesn't want to not play short. You know, and that's a big reason why he signed with Texas. Some other teams had floated this out there, like, given your size, we don't think you're going to age well at the position.
But if it's a way to get through this season, you'd have to be open-minded to it.
Yeah.
Like, how much of a drop-off is Jock Peterson at first base, Corey Seager at DH? I want to find out. We got top sports stories of the day, a USA preview, NBA free agency, and more coming up next here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.